Well, over this last few weeks, we have been remembering events in what is called Holy Week. We've been remembering the various events of Jesus' life, the Lord's Supper, the cross. Today we remember on appropriately Palm Sunday, the Sunday and the entrance into Jerusalem. And we prepare our hearts for Easter next week, the Easter resurrection and celebration of Christ's victory over death itself. So let's pray as we come to God's Word for today and ask the Holy Spirit to teach our hearts and our minds the truth of God's Word today. Lord God, we come in the mercy of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And we do pray that even though we see with our physical eyes and understand with our physical minds, that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would help us to understand spiritual things and the truth of what you did for us, Jesus. And so, Lord, may we follow, may we know, and may we understand in your name. We pray it in your name. Amen. We are in Matthew chapter 21. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11. It'll be up here on the screen if you'd like to follow there. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to follow along there and listen with your heart. Listen with your ears. Listen with your mind to the Word of God to you this morning. Verse 1. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them ahead. Go into the village over there, he said. As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessing on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven. The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this? They asked. And the crowds replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. The word of God to us this day. Interesting that the king had to borrow a donkey. You'd think a king would have a donkey. But that's the way we think. We think in worldly terms. We think in earthly terms. And Jesus is thinking in spiritual terms about our heart. The crucifixion is 6 days away. Jesus is headed into Jerusalem. Despite the threats, there were threats, and the danger that he would face there. Because there's something that he must do. He is headed in a direction, and there's no U-turn in his walk. In the scripture here that we just read in Matthew, and in the other Gospels, I've got them listed in the bulletin for you, Mark 11, Luke 19, and John 12, we see this dramatic entrance into Jerusalem. And it isn't so much what Jesus says in the parade and what Jesus says in the entrance into Jerusalem as much as what he does. That's really important for us to see and to look at what Jesus does as he enters Jerusalem that day. He gives instruction, we just read it, about getting a donkey, the colt of a donkey, for him to ride. Now, as far as we know in the rest of Scripture, and I've never seen any other place, we have no indication anywhere else in the fullness of Scripture that Jesus rode on a donkey. Everything that we see in the Scripture prior to this day, Jesus is always walking with his disciples. He always walked. That's how he got around. He always ate, he ministered, he healed, he worked, and he walked in their midst. He did separate himself at moments. He would go off and he would pray to the Father. Okay? There were times when he was off by himself, but most all of the time, he was with the disciples and they were with him. And they walked everywhere. They didn't carry him. We don't see any of that in the Scripture. This is the first time in the fullness of Scripture that he does something that we could consider as a position of privilege. Okay? All he did was servant-minded and servant-lived. And now he does something sort of as a sign of privilege. He sends the disciples after this donkey colt in order to ride into Jerusalem for the Passover. The uniqueness of this entrance into Jerusalem on a donkey's colt was a simple way for Jesus to show something. He didn't have to say, okay, I am your king. Okay, we don't see that. He doesn't make a pronouncement. He doesn't have a pronouncement read. He gets on a donkey and he rides into Jerusalem that day. He accepts the title of king. But again, our minds think in earthly ways, and their minds thought the same way about Jesus. We know that Jesus was deeply tied. Jesus absolutely understood the fullness of Scripture. Jesus would have remembered that Solomon, when he was proclaimed king after the death of David, he rode into Jerusalem on his favorite mule. Okay? That's 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 33. It's referenced for you. In the culture, though, of Jesus' day, at that time when he entered Jerusalem, a conquering king would not have ridden into Jerusalem on a donkey colt. He would have ridden in, and I'm sure many of you remember this, as a horse or on a chariot, sort of like a military conquering king. But Jesus knows that that's not what he brings. It's not a war horse. It's not a war chariot that Jesus enters Jerusalem upon. He enters on a donkey colt. And there's something about it being a donkey colt that I'm always amazed at every year, and it comes back to me when I think about it here on Palm Sunday. A donkey colt was an animal that had not been ridden. Okay, are you with me? The donkey may have been, but the colt had never been ridden upon. In the Jewish tradition, in the Jewish law, only animals that had never been beasts of burden could be considered for sacred purposes. Are you with me? Only beasts that were brought for the sacrifices that had never been beasts of burden could be used for the sacrifices. Okay? And only animals that had not been a beast of burden could be considered for sacred purposes. Jesus knew the Scriptures. Jesus knew the Word of God. That truth is indicated in Numbers 19, referenced for you. So I want to encourage you to think about this, because maybe it's just me, but I have animals. Okay? Consider a donkey colt that has never been ridden, all of a sudden allows someone to get on its back. And not only to get on its back, but then to walk into the crowd of 1,000 people shouting and throwing things in front of it. How absolutely non-logical, illogical. That image of a donkey colt that has never been ridden and allowing Jesus to get on it, to ride it into Jerusalem, to have all those thousands of people shouting and singing and throwing things on the road in front of them. Can I hear the word skittish? Okay. But we don't have anything that indicates that about this donkey colt. But what we need to think about, and I encourage you to think about, Jesus is not only an earthly king when he enters Jerusalem. Jesus is a divine king. And the divine presence in Jesus allows for something beyond what we would think as logical in this world. The parade into Jerusalem isn't a political occasion. What we have here is a sacred event. A divine Savior, an earthly animal, and a parade into Jerusalem is a sacred event. Imagine, though, those earthly disciples. I can put myself in their sandals, okay? What were they thinking? They'd been with Jesus. They had walked everywhere. They had worked. They had watched the miracles. They had toiled. They had received a criticism. And they also observed that Jesus never did anything without a purpose. And there was some purpose here. Now, what they thought they had longed for was happening. Jesus wasn't going to walk into Jerusalem, but now he was going to ride the donkey colt. They see Jesus accepting the position of king. They had wanted this. They wanted him to be the king, but they kept wondering, he is not acting in the way that we would expect a conquering king to enter. Hear their thinking? Even if they had preferred that Jesus ride a war horse or a chariot, at least he was coming as a king, riding on a donkey colt. The roar of the crowd must have been significant. The road was crowded with pilgrims headed to Jerusalem for the Passover, thousands and thousands. The Romans had brought in extra legions of soldiers to make sure the peace was kept. And I imagine that as Jesus rode on the donkey colt, the disciples began to stir up the crowd a little bit. Here he comes! Here comes the king! Here comes the Savior! Can you hear him? They're out there kind of like cheerleaders, okay? Maybe they pick up their palms and their palms. No, I really. Sorry, got off track there. But I imagine they were stirring up the crowd, and the crowd probably stirred up the crowd. Isn't that the way it is when you're in a crowd? And somebody gets to shouting, then it's not too long, and you're shouting too, all right? And you're jumping up and down, and they're throwing out palm branches, and you know, I'm going to get my palm branch out there. And people are throwing their coats out there. I'll throw mine out, and the crowd stirs up the crowd. The disciples stir up the crowd as Jesus rode in as king. We see in Matthew 21 that the whole city took notice. The whole city took notice. This was not an isolated event. Jesus didn't come in the back alley where no one saw. This was the whole city of Jerusalem, and they were in an uproar about it. Something big was happening. Jesus knew that the end also was coming. This day was significant in his life. You could say it was significant in his death. This day is significant because of the week that lay ahead. If I'd have been Jesus, I said, is it too late for a U-turn? He knew what lay ahead. It was time to do what he knew he had to do. He knew that there had to be a blood sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sin. He knew it. He knew that was the only way that we could become right with God through that blood sacrifice. He knew that it was now or never. Jesus was going to be obedient to the will of God, and he was going to accomplish the purpose God had sent him to this earth for. And he was going to accomplish something for us. It was a unique day. It was a special day for all that followed Jesus. And it was a special time for those that follow Jesus today with their hearts. It's special for us today. Jesus obeyed because he loved God and he loves you. He may have wondered. He was human. He was human, okay? He may have wondered if it was too late for a U-turn. As he rode in that day, he rode not only into Jerusalem, but he also rode into the will of God. We are so blessed that he didn't take a U-turn that day and turn around and go away. Blessed to be forgiven. Blessed to know that we are loved. Blessed to know that we have hope. Blessed to forgive as freely as we've been forgiven. Blessed to have eternal life with the Lord in heaven above. In your life, today, you are blessed. You are blessed with the opportunity to make a U-turn because Jesus didn't make a U-turn. Are you with me? Jesus didn't make the U-turn. You and I can make the U-turn. We were headed to hell. And through Jesus, we can make a U-turn and head to heaven. Now, I share a little story from history. I think I probably shared this one before, but you know, because I'm no cowboy. Okay, I wouldn't say I had that experience. In fact, since I had my hip replaced, I've only ridden a horse a couple of times. But many years ago, when I was a child, I actually had a horse. Well, it was half horse, half Shetland, all ornery, and. Sometimes when I served in the church in Wyoming in those 10 years, I was sometimes invited to help move the cattle in the spring from the valley up the mountainsides. They'd do it in phases. As the grass would green up, as the snow would melt, they would move the cattle up out of the valley and follow the snow melt and the grass greening up. And so sometimes I'd be invited along to move the cattle. And I remember one long day for more than saddle sores. Okay. It started before sunrise and it didn't end until after sunset. And it was a long day, not only for me, but I'm sure it was a long day for that horse. Okay. And despite the effort that we made to move the cattle to the green pastures, ooh, there's a sermon there for another time, but we tried to move the cattle to the green pasture. Some of the cows just had decided at the end of the day they didn't want to go that way. They it was like, okay, we're going back down to the valley. We're going to go back to what we're familiar with, okay? Dried out grass and, you know, we're going to go back there. And so it's like, okay. okay, and I know better, and we all know better, so we're going to move the cattle up here. So I turn the horse around, and I'm getting ready to head these cattle off and try to get them to go back up to the green pastures. But then all of a sudden, the horse began to take on a life of his own. And you know, as soon as I turned the horse and we were headed back, and the horse was sort of headed back in the direction of the ranch, his ears propped forward. And it was like, I'm not in charge here. I can't get this horse to turn. I can't get this horse to move the cattle. He just wants to go home. And I'm holding on with one hand, and finally I had observed the ear. I'm trying to hold on, and I reach out and I pull his ears back, and then it was like, okay, we were able to turn around and do what we need to do. Now, I share that again because sometimes as people, we get set in a particular direction. Sometimes we get going in a direction and the Lord's going, come on, come over here. Time for a U-turn, okay? Sometimes the ears of our hearts and our minds go, I'm going in that direction, even if God's saying, the green pastures are over here. This is where you're supposed to go. This is where I want you to go. But we can make a U-turn with Jesus. We can go in a new direction. Today, this morning, right now, by faith in Him with your heart, you can make a U-turn. God may be calling you to go in a different direction. God may be leading you to the greener pastures, and you're going, I want to go back to where it was. I want to go back to the dried out, hot, desolate valley. Perhaps there's someone this morning you need to forgive. Perhaps you need to seek the forgiveness of someone. Maybe the Lord. Perhaps there is a need for you to do something that God has been calling you to do, but you've just been saying no. Maybe it's time to let God pull our hearts back to His direction today. Jesus didn't make a U-turn on that morning when He entered Jerusalem, so that we can. What is it that God's love, Jesus' obedience, can do to pull your stubbornness and your direction back to His will today? Jesus won't force you. He's given you faith to make that U-turn. Will you? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You rode into Jerusalem that day. And You knew the purpose. And You most likely thought about a U-turn, but You wanted the Father's will and You wanted our forgiveness. So Lord, help us to go in Your direction. To go where You would have us go. Help us to make a U-turn from those things that take us away from You. Thank You that You strengthen us to do that, Holy Spirit. We don't have to do it on our own, but You help us. So Lord, thank You that You didn't make a U-turn, that we can. We pray in Your name, Jesus. Amen.